want to encourage you today that everything you've been sowing is there. But it just needs activated. And so there's a process. And God is so cool. He's been teaching me science, Monica. I can't believe it. I mean, I've learned more from God concerning science than I ever did at school. I appreciate my science teachers, but it was more about me not paying attention than anything. And now I'm listening to the teacher. And as he speaks, I'm just listening and learning. And I've learned so much. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to start in James. I'm not going to actually read just yet, but when we get there, we're going to be in James 5:7. Listen, on the outside, a lot of times the seeds may look like they're inactive. Okay, you can look at a seed and you think it doesn't look like it's doing anything. Okay, it looks inactive, and it can be easy to assume there's not much going on inside that seed. But that seed is actually very much alive. Okay, so seeds remain active inwardly, but you aren't necessarily seeing the process. They're active inside, but you're not seeing the process, okay? So this was amazing to me, they even carry out some basic metabolic processes, such as cellular respiration. In other words, let me say it this way. Seeds are using small amounts of stored energy, okay? And they're staying alive, and they're waiting for good conditions to begin to grow. See, seeds are waiting for the right condition. Oh, man, this has just set me free, Monica. I'm telling you, I've been working. There's the key. I've been working, okay? I've been trying to help my son come in, okay, to the family of God. And I've been working that seed. But do you know what? I can't work the seed. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. And the Lord said, Tammy, there has to be right conditions. He said, you cannot create the condition. You can't break open the seed. You've got to trust me that I'm doing it, he said. He said, even when it feels like it's inactive, he said, I really am still working this thing out. That seed is very much alive. See, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. So even when it doesn't look like anything's working, trust me, it's working. It's just we can't see it. It's waiting for the right conditions. And so what that means is, glory to God, every seed we've sown, whether it be in our children, even the seeds that have been sown in us, whoever we've been sowing seeds in, I want to tell you today, those seeds are very much alive. God is very much at work with that seed. You see, so I want to encourage you to just hold on. They're just simply waiting for the right conditions to bear and bring forth fruit. And it's like, oh, now I'm getting it. Now I'm getting it. See, we have our own timetable, and we want everything to go just the way we want it to go. We say, Lord, you got to speed this up. He said, no. You got to wait for the right condition. If you don't have the right condition, what's going to happen is that thing can bear and bring forth fruit, but what's going to happen is it's not going to prosper. Sister Neva just walked in talking about her, what did you call them? The flowers you showed me?
Daffodils.
Those daffodils only come up at a certain time. There's a certain time those daffodils are going to bloom. But if she presses that thing and tries to get them to bloom at a different time, what's going to happen is the environment is not the right place. And so what's going to happen is they're going to die. It will not work. Okay, saints. So when we're pushing for something to come, it's not the right time. What we're going to do is we can get that thing to come forth, but it's going to die. It'll die. So God has the right time for everything. So we just have to trust him for that process, saints. It's going to bear and bring forth fruit at the right time. And so it's not always on our time, but it's at the right time. We could have called it. The title could have been The Right Time. Okay? Wait for the right time. So I'm learning this right along with y'all. And so this is often why when we're sowing into others' lives, the Bible says we have to wait with patience like the farmer, amen, believing that the Holy Spirit really is working in that person's heart, and that fruit will come in time. And so this is what I'm learning to do. Now I'm asking the Holy Spirit to produce the right condition.
Come on.
Woo!
Come on. You know, when we plant seeds or bulbs,
okay,
we can't dig them up because we don't see anything yet.
Yes. You can't dig it up. And so listen, that just like she was saying, there you have to wait with patience for that thing. Don't dig it up before the time. Don't give up before the time. And so ask the Holy Spirit to produce the right conditions in your heart, in the heart of your children, in the heart of your friends and family, whoever it is. God, we ask you, Holy Spirit, go and cause the right conditions to be set, to be met, so that this thing can produce. So I love how he gives us keys on how to pray more effectively. So what do we do while we're waiting? Well, let's look at James 5:7. That's where we're going to look first. James 5:7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain." Okay? So the farmer has to wait for this, and he waits patiently for it, okay? So look at Hebrews 6:15. Hebrews 6:15, I'm working off my phone today, which is not something I normally do, so be patient with me, okay? Hebrews 6:15 says this, "And so after he had patiently," we're talking about Abraham, "after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." See, we're going to get the harvest, we're going to see the promise fulfilled, but we have to first patiently endure, okay? So, the phrase the Lord keeps saying to me is, "Tammy, you need to patiently endure." Listen, I can't remember what I preached last time here. Usually I have it in a notebook and I keep up with it, but I lost it and I really don't know what I preached, okay? So I may have said the same thing, but I'm going to say it again. Somebody needs to hear it. So listen, I'd went to a women's program. I'd come back. We'd had a women's gathering. I'd talked to my son. Most people know he battles with depression and different things like this. And so anyway, I was on my way home and he had called. He was at work and I could tell by his voice he wasn't in a good place. Okay. And as a mother, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go check on him, see how he's doing. You know what? I'm just checking in. So I drive, man, I was so tired. I drove all day and it felt like, and I got home late, and anyway, go into the store where he's at and it's super busy. And so I go up there to talk to him and I can tell, boy, it's one of those days, it's like you can't pick him up, okay? It's just like, oh, this ain't, I don't know if I'm going to get him up today. So usually what I go in and do, Sister Monica, is to really just encourage him and try to get a smile, try to lift him up. But it was one of those days, it was like no lifting. And so I just said, I just kept on waiting. I could feel the Holy Spirit nudging me. And as I look back, I could see he was nudging me to leave. He was saying, go ahead and leave, go ahead and leave. But I was resisting. No, I'm going to stay and I'm going to pick him up. I'm not going to leave till it's done. Well, what happened, Monica, is I went into the flesh. I had the right word in the wrong spirit. And so when you speak the right word in the wrong spirit, it's not good. We got to have the right spirit. If the Holy Spirit hasn't told us, speak this thing, you ought to hold your mouth. You see, it could be the right word, but it's the wrong spirit, and it's destructive. You see, we can have a right action, but it's the wrong spirit, and it's destructive. You see, we have to really hone in on listening to the Spirit. And so what happened was, I had the right word, but I started going into the flesh, okay? I started making this thing happen. Remember how Abraham did that? Abraham said, well, I'm not gonna wait on God. This has got to come, so I'm going to go ahead, and maybe I should do this. And so, you know, he went and produced another child. Okay, we're trying to make things happen when we can't do it. We have no power. It's the Holy Spirit who has to do this. So here I am, boy. I get into mom mode. I got right up there. You know, Monica, boy, I honed in. I got right up close. I said, because he was complaining about how, you know, just his own struggles in life and finding no purpose. And I got right up close. I said, you're never going to be happy until you find Jesus, son. So I went into full-on mom mode, you know, and I could see it. I was just like, got to get to Jesus. Here I am at the dollar store setting my son straight. And it didn't go well. He was very honorable to me. He always is. But I saw that it didn't help anything. And I left and I'd gotten in the flesh. And so I got in the car and the Holy Spirit said, Tammy, now, how did that help? I said, well, it didn't. He said, you're right, Tammy. It didn't help anything. He said, what are you doing? He said, you can't do this, Tammy. I'm the only one that can do it. I said, I know, Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to help you. He said, I don't need your help, Tammy. I don't need your help, Tammy. So I went home. Watched a show with my husband. Okay, because we'd been a long day. We were going to watch home improvement show. And so I sat down, and of course it's this family, it's a sweet family of four, and the parents, their two oldest boys are about to go off to college, and they have this perfect family. And so what happens is they don't want to downsize. They want to grow bigger because they want more room for all their family to come home to, you know? Like most people downsize, they're like, oh, we love everything. Life is so good. Let's go bigger so we can bring everybody into the home, you know? And so I'm sitting here watching this, Sister Monica, and these boys are so sweet, and they're making this bench for their parents and signing their names, and the family's all sitting on this bench, and it's just this beautiful picture. Yeah, I'm sitting there, and you know what's happening? It's like this icky thing is rising. It's like a seething, like, ugh, you know, perfect. Everything's perfect for that family, you know. Just this ugliness started to rise up in me. And so I was about to, the water well was about to bust forth. I was about to bawl. I was just in a bad place. And me and my husband, we have a routine. So I knew I was just waiting for the minute he was going to get up and go do his nightly routine so I could just have a minute to cry. And he walked off. And so I just started bawling and talking to the Lord. And I said, Holy Spirit, you know, normally I say, why, Lord, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. You know, all these things. But I stopped and I said, Holy Spirit, what is this? And I mean, he said quick as day to me, Tammy, so calm, not dramatic. He said, Tammy, it's jealousy. I said, oh, it is. It is jealousy, isn't it? He said, yeah, it's jealousy, Tammy. And so I begin to repent for that. I said, oh, thank you for exposing it. You know, it's not to shame us. It's to get it out of us. Mm-hmm. He said he's conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. The only way we can be conformed to him is to get all that's not of him out of us. And that can only happen as it's exposed. And so I said, thank you. Thank you for exposing this. I just repented and said, I'm not jealous. I bless those people, you know, and just kind of blessed them and went on. The next morning, I was out with the Lord, just spending time with them. And I just was talking to the Lord, and I started saying these things like, how long am I going to have to go through this, God? Like, why? How long am I going to go around this mountain? You know, and I was just crying this out to the Lord. And I heard the Holy Spirit. He said, Tammy, I said, what do I need? What am I missing? What do I need? What needs to take place in this? What is the delay, Holy Spirit? What is the delay? And he said, Tammy, I'm trying to produce patience in you. And I said, patience? Have I not been patient? That's what I said. Have I not been patient?
Come on.
I've been here for 8 years. How long do I have to go through this? I've been patient. Haven't I been patient? He said, no, Tammy. You've been enduring. I said, oh. He said, there's a difference between patience and endurance. I said, okay. He said, you've been enduring this thing. He said, but I've called you to patiently endure this thing. See, there's a difference between patience and endurance. I said, okay. So I told my husband this, and he said he thought the same thing. Have you not been patient? I mean, we've been doing this for 8 years. And I said, no, because when you look up the word patience actually means this: cheerful waiting, hopeful waiting. And the Lord said, Tammy, you've been working. You've been not waiting. You've been working. You see, I would endure that thing as long as I could go with the Holy Spirit and try to fix everything. Something fall apart, I jump in. I'm going to fix this. See, I'm going to come in with the love of God and fix it. You see, I couldn't just come in and love him. I couldn't just love him. I had to love him and fix it. And so he said, Tammy, you've been enduring as long as you could have some control in this thing. He said, but you've not been patient. You've not been joyfully and cheerfully waiting. You see, saints, the farmer waits for the fruit to come forth. He trusts by faith that fruit is really going to bear and bring forth. It's going to happen. And he waits patiently. And so I wasn't waiting patiently. And so like Abraham, I was trying to produce something. I was trying to work ahead of God. And what happens if you produce before the time? You produce the wrong thing, or you produce something that will not last. And the Lord said this to me. He said, Tammy, I can save your son. He said, I can do it right now. He said, I can cause salvation to spring forth. He said, but what's going to happen is that seed will spring forth before its time, and it will not last. He said, do you want salvation that lasts or salvation that springs up quickly? I said, I want it to last. And he said, so will you trust me? Will you wait? The seed has a process. Everything has to have the right timing, the right environment, the right temperature. Everything has to be right. I said, I trust you. I trust you. And so I really just release that to the Lord. And so what I want to say is that, you know, in times, things in our life, these trials that we're going through, or even that our loved ones are enduring through and we're going through with them, listen, they're actually helping us meet the right conditions. You see, even in us. See, the fruit of patience was not going to be born in my life until I had something to be patient about. Amen. You can't produce patience till you have something that makes you have to produce it. You see what I'm saying? I can't be pregnant with a baby and force that thing to come out. Oh, you can go in and have a C-section and do all that. But if I'm going to naturally bring forth that child, I have to wait for the right time. It has to be ready to come. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's the same thing. Conditions are being met in me. Things are happening. Environments are being set up so that patience will begin to have to come forth. You see, if I don't produce patience, what do? I just walk around angry, bitter, frustrated, yelling at everybody. I saw this woman yesterday. She was behind somebody. Broke my heart. I was at the bank and I was getting some money. And as I did, I saw this. I heard this honking, and I look over, and there was a woman at the ATM, and she had pulled up. Got her stuff, and she'd moved up a little further, but apparently she'd not moved up out of the way so that the person behind her could get on around. So they start honking the horn, and I mean, fly like a crazy person out of there. Clearly they were mad, you know, ridiculous behavior. By the way, that's somebody who's not matured. Okay? That's a grown person. That's a child in a grown person's body. So that's lack of maturity. And so anyway, you can be 95 and still lack maturity. So they were ticked off, running around and everything. And I thought they were going to get in a wreck trying to get out of there. I was like, this is ridiculous. So anyway, when I pulled up to drive off, I thought, this is probably an elderly woman, you know. And I pull up there, and it wasn't. It was a woman, a very sweet woman, but it looked like she was crying. And I thought, you don't even know what someone's going through when you act that way. You see, you just don't know what someone's going through. You don't know the battles they're facing. You don't know what they've been enduring. You don't know. Now, I can tell you, this woman's husband just passed away not long ago. So it's like, why are we being this way? It's just heartbreaking. It's lack of maturity. So if you don't let God take these trials and produce the fruit he wants in you, you become the person that acts that way and doesn't consider anybody off to the side but themselves. All you think about is you. And you run around and you're bitter and you're ticked off because the world ain't going the way you want it. And you make everybody else pay, and nothing ever goes your way. So everybody else is going to pay for it. You see, you're acting like a child. That's not right in God's eyes. He's allowed these things in your life for a purpose. The reason, he didn't send them. I want to make that clear. He didn't send them, but he allows them so that you can grow up and stay in rest. You see, when you come into the place of rest, you don't have to worry if things aren't going the way you want them to go. You can rest in joy and peace and just have a good old time walking in victory, whether anything's going right or it's not. Amen. That's what God is allowing these things to come in your life. He's conforming you to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. But if you're resisting the Holy Ghost's work and getting upset about it, you're delaying your own growth. See, you're delaying your own growth. And see, we do the same thing in other people's lives. We want to push the work quicker, but we can't. The right conditions have to be met. And see, sometimes my son's going through things that's really hard, and I want to go in and scoop him up, Neva. I want to take everything away that's difficult. But the Lord said, Tammy, some of these are the very conditions that are needed so that he'll finally, that seed of salvation will finally burst and break forth in his life. Amen. Man, I'm so thankful for what God's teaching me. See, he wants us to have the promise. He wants us to get to that place. But we keep running around all the pain. We keep trying to remove the difficulties. You see, it's okay. These things are actually being worked together for our good. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to not give up in the midst of that. Let God do the work in you that he wants to do in you. The labor pains are going to come. They're going to come. A man of God who goes to church out at the refuge and teaches on Wednesday night, been an awesome time in a battlefield of the mind, really renewing the mind right now. It's been so good. But he said this. He said, everybody wants the victory. And he said, we're always saying, I want the victory. And so he said, the issue is not the victory, because the victory has already been given. We already have the victory. We're not trying to get the victory. We have the victory. He said, what we're really saying is we don't want to go through any more pain. We want out of the travail. We want out of the suffering and the pain. And so we're not really wanting victory. We're wanting all this to go away. He said, but don't you know that if it's not that pain, once you come through that, the next trial's coming. You're not going to get away from pain. You're not going to get away from difficulty. What God's trying to teach you to do is walk through the pain and the difficulty with joy and peace and love. All the fruits of the Spirit can come in your life. You see, no matter if the winds are good or the winds are bad, you're at peace. No matter whether everything's right or everything's wrong, you have joy. Amen. Whoa, this is the life he wants us to live. You see, there is a place we can walk, and it is the place of rest, and it is the place of fullness. And God is leading us into that place if we will not resist him, but we'll trust him in that place. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Is this a good time to stop for the prayers, Sister Neva?
You know, whenever before I turned back to Christ,
mm-hmm.
man, I was acting like a child,
mm-hmm.
with the hurt.
Yes.
And I became angry.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes to be hurt?
No one.
I don't know anybody that would raise their hand. If you'd like to be hurt, raise your hand.
Right.
But when we do get hurt, I myself didn't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I became very angry.
Yes.
In my hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused a lot of other things.
Yes.
Okay? So I was acting like a child.
Yes.
You make me mad, I'm going to throat punch you.
Yep, you're going to have to pay.
I'm going to WWF you right on the spot.
Right.
And not care.
Yep.
I was acting like a child.
Yes.
And God can take that. The Bible says we should become childlike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, for instance, Angel, my grandson, mm-hmm. he's right. 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We can, okay, like yesterday, he got in trouble at school.
Mm-hmm.
He come home and he had this idea, well, if I come in and I just tell her, you know what I'm saying, it won't be so bad. So he come in, he says, Grandma, I got an okay, but it wasn't for talking. And I'm like, okay, buddy. Something's up because you're coming in already.
Yes.
So that tells me there's a bigger issue.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You know,
that's cute.
He's so cute. So he comes, you know, and I sit down and I say, so would you? He says, not minding my own business.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And then I'm like, well, it's not like your teacher to change your behavior status over one incident.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I need to call your teacher or text your teacher. This boy pulled the crocodile tears,
oh.
sat down, and proceeded to tell me 5 things that he did in school that day to get the okay instead of the wow.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I disciplined him. He mm-hmm. got in trouble.
Right.
And I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes after
mm-hmm.
he walks by. I love you, Grandma. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we need to be, you know.
Yes.
We need to be like a child.
Yes.
And when we get offended or hurt, don't harbor it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold it.
That's good.
We need to learn. And I'm learning myself. I'm telling
yes,
myself,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
We have to learn when we get offended. It's mm-hmm. our choice to take it and
yep.
build a fence or
yes.
to say, Lord, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. You know what happened.
Yes.
I need help.
Yep. That's
with
right.
this feeling,
that's
with
right.
this emotion, because I don't like it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Just I think just facing it, because it's the same thing as that emotion that was rising up when I watched that show. Mm-hmm. Instead of giving in to that, I was stopping and saying, what is this? And then the Holy Spirit was telling me, and then I was repenting and confessing the opposite. My emotions didn't have to feel the way I was speaking. Mm-hmm. They lined up after I went ahead and took the way that I should with my behavior and my words. And the feelings followed, and all that went away. And so the Holy Spirit will do the work in you if you'll just let Him lead
Amen.
You. Don't dismiss what you're feeling. Go ahead and address it with the Father mm-hmm. and let Him heal that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This first prayer request is from Sarah Hammer. She asked us to pray for her. They've moved to Texas, and her medical insurance is not in place.
Oh, okay.
And she can't get the medications that she needs, and these meds are critical for her well-being due to some cancer issues.
Yes. Okay.
And then I would ask our prayer warriors this morning to continue to pray for Joe Pyatt, my husband.
Yes.
Pray for healing, but also pray for wisdom with decisions on upcoming treatments. And just believe with us.
Yes.
For healing. I feel like he's a little discouraged right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he believes he can be healed at this moment, you know, because he's just not seeing anything yet.
Yes.
And as I prayed with him, I think it was just night before last, I was like, Lord, I know we're not supposed to live by sight.
Yes.
We're supposed to live by faith. But if you could just give him a little something to hang on to so that he feels like he's getting better.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's where we are.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's go to the throne. Father, we are so thankful, God, that we can come boldly before you today. Father, that we don't have to work anything. God, we know you're working all things out. And so, God, we're coming to you knowing that you are the one that can handle every situation we come up against. And you handle it well. We don't handle it well, but you handle it well. And we're just so thankful that we can really rest in you. We can really lay our troubles before you, our burdens, our cares, our worries, and we can put them before you and know that you're going to pick them up and you're going to concern yourself with them. And so today, God, we lift Sarah Hammer before you. Father, you see her situation. You see that she needs these medications. And Father, you see that she's without them. She needs this insurance thing to be resolved. And so, God, we're laying Sarah before you right now. We're laying her issue before you right now. I thank you that right now you're going to pick that issue up and concern yourself with it. I thank you that right now you're going to go and take care of that. Father, we ask you to send wisdom right now, wisdom to Sarah and her family, that they'll know how to handle this situation. God, we ask you to move on the insurance company quickly. We ask you, God, to give them favor right now in Jesus' name, that insurance company will move on their behalf, and you'll move on the insurance company to move right now. Father, whatever needs to be solved, we ask you to send whatever's missing. God, that you'll send the solution right now. Send the solution to them so that this thing can be turned around and she can get her medication. Father, in the meantime, as she waits, I pray that you encourage her. Lord, that she waits with confidence in you, that you do what you promise you do. And you said if we call on you, you'll answer. And so we're calling on you, so we believe you're answering right now. Father, we ask that you encourage her spirit. Lord, whatever you're trying to develop in Sarah in this moment, we ask that you develop it. Father, whatever fruit you're trying to bear in her life, Lord, help her to see it so she'll know and she can rest in you in the midst of it. God, that you'll accomplish that work in her. Father, I pray right now for Brother Joe. God, I understand this. I know what it is to sit there and wonder. It's like you just need some sliver of hope, God. God, without hope, Father, your people give up. We need hope. And so, God, right now, I ask you, just like Sister Neva said, God, we're asking you to give him a sign of something changing for the better. Lord, that he'd be encouraged in his spirit, in his soul. Father, I ask you right now to cause hope to spring up right now. Spring up right now, hope. Right now where he's at. Hope, begin to come alive. Hope, I ask you to go in fellowship with the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fellowship with hope. Cause that thing to come forth. Cause that thing to bear forth in his life. Only you can produce hope in Joe. Only you can produce hope in Joe. So God, right now, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to cause hope to spring up in him. And so, Father, we thank you that you're accomplishing that. God, we're standing here believing. God, we're waiting like the farmer. We're waiting, believing on you, that you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And so, God, whatever that looks like, we know that you're delivering Joe, you're delivering Neva, that they will come out of this. We don't know what it looks like, but you do, and we trust you that when you said all things work together for good, you meant it, and you cannot lie. And so, God, even this is being worked together for their good. And Father, I pray right now that you would cause some test results to turn around. Whatever it is that needs to be turned around, cause some things that need to come up, and those things that need to go down. God, whatever needs to take place, accomplish it. Holy Spirit, we send you to do the work. We thank you that give Neva and Joe rest even in the midst of this. Just rest. Rest in their mind. Rest in their heart. And joy. Let joy fill their home like never before. Joy of the Holy Ghost, fill that home right now. Father, where joy is, there's strength. You said the joy of the Lord is the strength. So God, send the joy right now so that they'll be strengthened in this hour. And God, we thank you for it in advance. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.